Good evening. Can you hear me? Huh? What? Oh? Can you hear me now? I'm telling you, we're going to make a commercial out of this yet, and we're going to make lots of... No, we're not. We're going to make anything, are we? Well, it's good to be back here again this morning. This morning. I did take a nap this afternoon, so it feels like this morning. This evening. It's good to see some faces that are back again, some faces that I'm used to seeing. It's just good to be with you this evening. I'm going to give you a little bit of a summary. Not really, it's not much of a summary. If you weren't here this morning, I'm going to let you know I have ADD. I don't stay on task very well. And I think I talk shorter than I really do. But I guarantee that we're not going to be here too long. Because tonight's message... Actually, this morning's message and really the topic that we're going to be kind of focusing on the next several nights is on the characters of God. The different personas, as you could say, of who God is. Now, this morning, as some of you will remember, well, let me ask you, what is the first persona that we talked about? Who is he? He's the king. He's the most general, that's the most general persona that he is viewed as. But tonight, we're going to talk about the second personality, the second, I don't know, characteristic, job, not really a job. He's a teacher. He was a teacher. He is a teacher. He's always been a teacher. And that, much like fathers, as we mentioned earlier, can have positive and negative connotations. In my case, I was never a huge fan of teachers or school. So that's a mixed emotion on that one. But before we get started, let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us again together to learn more about you, Lord. I ask that as I bring the message across tonight, that you will guide my words. May the words that come out of my mouth, may they not be the words that I've prepared. You know I've got stuff on my mind and written down, and some of it's good and some of it's just junk. So Lord, I pray that every word that comes out of my mouth, may they be words that you've given to me. Open our hearts and our ears to what you have for us. I pray that at least one person will be touched by the message tonight. That as we talk about the different characteristics that you have, Lord, that they will, their vision or view of you will maybe be adjusted or rethought or anything like that, Lord. We just pray for each individual here, and we thank you for bringing us together tonight. We thank you for being our very best friend. In Jesus' name, amen. So, he's a teacher. Now, I asked you this morning what a king was. Some examples of a king. We had some good examples. We talked about David. We said Solomon. We said Herod. We said Elvis. We said LeBron. We said Michael Jordan. Larry Bird even came up. David. But teachers, within your life, and again, and shout it out. What are some examples of teachers? Live what they teach. There was another one over here. Mother? A school teacher? A Sunday school teacher? I told you this morning that I was into sports. Played sports from the age of 4 till high school, and I wanted to play in college, but I wasn't good enough. But within that realm, a coach. So if you've ever played sports in any way, shape, or form, if you're familiar with it, that coach is a teacher. If you have your pastor, if you have a mentor or a supervisor, right? Sometimes they're teachers as well. Right? I know I just started a new job within the past year. And if it wasn't for the people that I worked with for teaching me the ropes, I would know nothing what I work. So it's a teacher is someone who's there teaching you everything that you need to know. So what are some good characteristics of a teacher? Because I'm guessing, let me ask you this question. You can raise your hands if you want to. How many of you actually liked school? Fair enough. My favorite teacher was my mom, but I never had as a teacher. I was not big into school. The phrase D's get degrees. What does degree start with? D, right? Duh. not right. Carried into college. Hey, don't worry. I graduated 10th in my class, all right? There was only 12. But I was still 10th in my class, so I mean, that still counts for something, right? Just don't tell anybody else that. Anyways, so needless to say, teachers were, it was probably more me than them. You didn't apply yourself. I've never heard that one. Didn't apply yourself. Me. You're right, I didn't. So what are the characteristics? Let's get back on task other than looking at my really bad schooling. Academics, it doesn't matter. Some good teachers, they instruct, right? They teach. So how many of you have ever seen a teacher who really just went for the paycheck, really didn't teach you anything? They were more there to, I see a hand right away. It's good, right? They're there to make a paycheck. They really don't care about the kids. They're just like, here's this. They pretty much just read straight out of a book, right? Goodness gracious, those are the ones that gave me the most headaches and I fell asleep in. I love what my mom always says. She taught high school students and she said, look, I don't care if you fall asleep in my class, just don't fall asleep with your eyes closed. I don't know if any of them ever learned how to fall asleep with their eyes open, but who knows? That's impressive. His eyes were open. Was he still laying on the ground? I don't know. Craziness. Okay, so they teach and they make lessons understandable. Okay. I think actually I have a scripture that I wrote down. It was Mark 4:2. Actually, technically, we really don't even know the turn of it. If you remember, what was the major thing that Jesus used when he was teaching? Parables. Now, you don't hear any teachers saying, hey, I've got a parable for you. It's more in today's term, and I love these, you could say analogies, right? Something that breaks down something very complicated and makes it perfect for a small mind like mine, a D student, to somewhat understand. That's what parables were. They broke them down. Jesus broke them down and made them easier for those to understand. And I don't know about you, but I need that in my life. So Jesus made things that were just easier to understand. He led by example. He's the greatest example that we have ever seen on this earth. He's the best teacher for that reason. Let me tell you, here's another background of me. So when I went to college, I switched majors 2 times. And it wasn't because I didn't like the major, I just couldn't keep a high enough GPA. But within all of that realm, at one point in time, I took a business class. Now within that business class, we were learning marketing and advertising. Sounds real exciting, right? It's awesome. No, because it was pretty much the same class and I still did horrible in both classes. But I graduated college. Whoopee. But what I learned was that a lot of these teachers, and those of you who have never been to college but are like, what's the purpose of college? This will support your argument. What's the point of someone teaching you something that they've never done. Oh, you're teaching me how to run a business, but you yourself have never been, have you ever been a CBO? Have you ever been anything close to a CEO running a business? Have you ever failed and gotten back up? No, these teachers have been teachers for 50 odd years teaching the same course, but never went into business for themselves. See, Jesus wasn't like that. What Jesus taught, he did. He set that example. He went out and led from the front. And we'll dive a little bit more into that. Teachers also have perspective. Sometimes they have the best perspective. They're able to look. If you're able to stand where I'm standing right now, I have a wider angle looking out over all of you. Now, I'm not able to look into the past. I'm not able to look into past experiences. But as a teacher, the good teachers are able to. What am I trying to say? Perspective. Here's one of the points where I sometimes lose myself, because I lose perspective. They're able to teach and know where students are at. So here's the thing. Here's a talent challenge as a teacher, and even as a pastor, and I'm sure Roger can verify this. See, as I look out here, and I don't know many of you, each of you have a different learning style. Each of you have a different way that you understand and grow, and the pace that you grow. Right? I grew a lot slower than most students. That's where the perspective comes in. For the perspective to realize that, you know what? I'm not going to harp on someone because of them not keeping up with the best students. Jesus met everybody where they were at. Jesus wasn't afraid to talk with the low of lows. That's kind of what we're going to jump into a little bit right now. This is why Jesus' teachings were so effective. We talked about the characteristics of a good teacher and what they would do in order to properly feed into their students. Jesus wasn't an absent teacher. He was present. He was an interactive teacher. He was literally in the dirt teaching. If you turn to Matthew 4, 23 through 25. It says, Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and all people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those who had seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. So we talked about he wasn't an absent teacher. He was present and interactive. He reached people where they were, right? So many times we as teachers, we can say good things, but it's sometimes actually hard to do what you preach. To interact with those who need you the most. See, Jesus didn't just, you know, his disciples thought that he wanted to talk to the best of the best. You know, you think about the image of the men dropping the paralyzed man down the roof. People tried to push him away. Those men knew what Jesus could do. And they did everything they could to get that man in there. And Jesus didn't say, look, man, okay, these people were here first. Back off. He didn't say that. He saw the need and he healed the man. When people came to him, he didn't push them away. I think that's the beautiful thing about, for me, when I think about my own relationship, my own, I don't know, my own perspective of God. See, God looks at my heart and he knows that I'm a sinner. In case you didn't know it, just because of the term we have a term pastor or leader, or that doesn't mean we're perfect in any way, shape, or form. If you were to ask my wife, she would tell you that I am imperfect. In fact, sometimes I feel like the worst of the worst. But that's what makes God's love and grace so amazing, is that he can take the worst of us and use the best part of us to teach others. Right? He'll never push us away. He'll never say, because he'll never deny us his grace because we're too sinful. You know what I'm saying? You hear me? Like, if he had a certain guideline for who I needed to be to receive his love, I wouldn't have it. And if you think that people need to be at a certain level in order to receive God's love, if you think that people God's love and forgiveness is for all. God's grace is amazing. I'm sorry. I love it. Why else was his teaching effective? Well, he didn't shy away from a question, and he didn't stray away from direct answers. How many times would you be in class, or you talk to anybody in general, and you ask them a question, and they don't know, so they kind of redirect it so they don't look stupid? I've done that. I hate when teachers do that because, you know, as a student, you're like, well, you should kind of know this stuff. You're supposed to be our teacher. You're supposed to have the answers, right? That's at least what our perspective was of teachers. Whether or not that was true or not, it wasn't. And you know what? The beautiful thing about Jesus as a teacher is he knew the answers. He knew the answers. And he gave a direct answer in a roundabout way. Here's what I mean. We're going to read a little story. You like stories? I love stories. I have as I said earlier today, I have a 20-month-old son. And I read him 4 stories a night. One of them is always, Elmo loves you. I could recite that to you right now. I won't. But just know that Elmo loves you. Elmo loves everything. No, everybody loves something. Babies love noises. Birds love singing. Matthew 19. It's the story of the young, rich man. Matthew 19:16-30. I hope you don't mind me reading a story to you. Please don't fall asleep while I read. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? How many times have we asked that question? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied. There's only one who is good, and if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which one? He inquired. Jesus replied, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these things I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Well, Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions, and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away and said, he went away sad because he had great wealth. And then Jesus said to his disciples, truly, I tell you, it is harder for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Peter answered him, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits at the glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wives or children or fields for the sake will receive 100 times as much as the inheritance of life. But many who are first will be last, and who are last will be first. He didn't just tell the young, rich young ruler that, oh, you're awesome. You did a great job. Oh, man, this is great. You met all that you shall not murder. You haven't murdered anybody. That's awesome. You haven't committed adultery. Oh, that's awesome. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You honored your father and mother. You loved others as yourself. Well, good for you. You get a gold star. He didn't do that. He challenged him. He pushed him to do something further. That's what he does to us on a daily basis. I hope you realize that each and every one of us, we have done nothing on this earth to get into heaven. And let me tell you this. There is no action. There is no process that will earn a trip to heaven. Nothing that you can do. Rephrase that. Let me say that again. Nothing that you can do will allow you into heaven. I don't know about you, but my wrongs outweigh my good. And if I was relying on my good deeds versus my bad deeds, I know where I'd go. I know my past. You don't know my past. I don't know your past. But that's the beautiful thing about God's love and grace. It all comes back to it in my eyes. Is that his love and grace is what saves us, is what protects us, and what guides us, and why he loves us, and why we have that security in him. Anyways, at least my rabbit trails aren't like super crazy, right? Oh, God's love is awesome. You want to see why he was effective? And this kind of goes along with his teaching. He sets the example. He told his disciples to serve one another. What did he do? John 13:20. You don't have to turn to it because we're fairly certain we all know this. Last Supper. He did one of the jobs that probably one of the lowest of servants was tasked with doing. He took a basin of water, and he cleaned his disciples' feet. Now, I don't know about some of you. I can't even say I'm not a feet guy because I walk around barefoot most of the time. Honestly, I'd be more comfortable being bare feet right now. But if you imagine this, and I'm sure you've heard of this before, back in the day, they wore sandals. They didn't have Nikes or Adidas to cover their toes. They didn't have Gold Bond. I think it was Gold Bond that takes the whatever smell away or anything. Like, those things were grungy. Their nails probably weren't clipped that great. Because if they clipped them, they probably used a knife, and, well, that didn't make straight edges. Trust me, I've tried. Just cuts too deep sometimes. They were nasty. But he got down on his knees and he washed their feet. He taught his disciples to love all, to forgive all. And when the Sadducees and the Pharisees brought the adulterous woman to him, and they said, Jesus, this woman, she's an adulteress, trying to put her on the deepest, lowest levels that someone can be. And they said, what should we do with her? They wanted to stone her right there. They wanted to put her to death right there on the spot. What did Jesus say? Ye who have no sin, cast the first stone. That's a message for all of us. That's a big message for all of us. And trust me, there are times in my life where I condemn, and then sadly, every once in a while, I still do condemn those. I think we all do. If you say you don't, well, that's, God bless you, you're better off than I am. But that's the beautiful thing about God's love is he doesn't. He recognizes the wrong. And when you call upon his love and his grace, he accepts that love. He gives that love freely. He sets that example. So now what's the next question? What's the next step? He's a great teacher. But what can we do? I'm sure teachers, if you've ever been a teacher, can I ask you this one question, quick question? Are any of you teachers? Don't raise your hand. Any other teachers? Yeah? Is one of the things that you want to do, would you rather give them information that they won't use, or would you rather teach them information that they will be able to apply in their daily lives? Right? You want to give them information that they will be able to apply. This keeps hanging off. You can hear me, right? Okay, cool. Feels like it's dangling. I don't know. My voice is loud enough. I could feel it, but like teachers, the biggest goal is you want to provide them something that they can apply in their everyday life, and you want to see them do it. Right? I feel bad for my teachers. I really do. Because none of them would have ever thought that I'd be here. Quite frankly, I don't think I would have ever thought I'd be here. I know, actually. Quick story. When in college... Yeah, I'll share it. I already started. In college, I ended up with a degree in communications with a concentration in marketing and minor in education and business. It's only, again, I switched majors twice. Okay? It's not because I was like really proactive on learning a lot of stuff. It's just I stank at everything else and I just couldn't keep a high enough GPA. Turned out I didn't want accounting. I didn't like it. Went into education, couldn't keep a 3.0, so took enough classes, though, to get a minor. But where was I going with that? Rabbit trail, redirect, come back to me. Communications. There's three ways I could have gone to communications. I could have done like a technological, like advertising, like graphic design type stuff. I could have done marketing, which is what I did, and then there was rhetoric. And if you don't know what rhetoric, it's pretty much meant for pastors. And I said, heck no. Not doing that. I'm not even keen on going to church on Sunday morning. I like to sleep in. I've been up till 2 o'clock in the morning. I really didn't see myself here. Neither did they. Here I am. So I wish teachers could look at their students in the future and see the good that they've done. So I'm reeling it back in. What can we do? Well, first of all, we need to be vulnerable. We need to ask questions. Whether it's through prayer or through an earthly teacher. When I say earthly teacher, I'm talking a pastor, I'm talking a mentor, I'm talking about someone within this realm that when you're battling through something or if you have a question that you can go to. I don't know about you, I don't know all the answers. Sometimes we need to ask questions. The teachers will tell you the best thing you can do as a student is to ask questions because it shows them that you want to learn. Shows them that you're listening. Sometimes it's hard to ask questions because you don't want to be vulnerable. You don't want to be like, I like the teacher to know that I'm good to go. I was never good to go. I never ask questions though. So we need to ask questions of God, and we need to ask questions of those around us that know us, that want the best for us. There's a second part to that though too. We need to be willing to hear the difficult answers and teachings and apply them. That's called listening. In case you're ever wondering, you didn't know already, hearing is words going in and out. I did that a lot growing up. Listening is having it going in the ear and sticking. That's listening. Applying it. Children, let me give a side note for you, younger children. Men, I don't know, I see mostly boys here, but trust me, your parents know what they're talking about. They've went through something else. They went through something already. They went through some junk already. Wasn't exactly the age of Fortnite and LeBron James and all this other junk that's going on, but they had their own struggles. They want to help. They may have scolded us and yelled at us and it felt like they were being mean, but trust me, your parents love you. They want the best for you. So I know none of their stories. I don't know any of their growing up. I know nothing. It's free information. No cost at all. But we need to be willing to hear those difficult answers and apply them. And to be honest, that's the best way we can show respect to God. From there, the best way to show respect and test what we have learned, we need to share what we have learned, just as Jesus' disciples did. Trying to figure out the best way to close this. And I'm going to do it. I have a question for, is this good to sing into? Okay. I'm going to sing you a song. I'm going to sing you a song that touches my heart every time I sing it and I hear it. I didn't plan this, but as Roger felt earlier, sometimes you got to listen to what God has for you. And I'm going to sing a song. I don't know if any of you like country music in any way, shape, or form. And I'm not talking about the modern country where there's more beats and auto-tune than twang. One of my favorite artists is Josh Turner. But someone that inspired him was Randy Travis. And Randy Travis has a song called Three Wooden Crosses. And I don't know if you've ever heard Three Wooden Crosses. But that's a song that talks about a man, really a man who is willing to reach out to someone who we as individuals on this earth may look past. And the impact that he made by simply sharing God's love with that individual made such an amazing difference. And I hope it touches your heart. I hope it means something. Man, Randy Travis, first of all, Randy Travis is awesome. And yeah. So hopefully I don't mess up the chorus like I did last time, right? yeah. Anybody know that song? Yeah, I know you guys know I sang. I've sang it a couple times. So it's Three Wooden Crosses. A farmer and a teacher, a hooker and a preacher, heading on a midnight bus bound from Mexico. One was heading for vacation, one for higher education, and two of them were searching for lost souls. Well, that driver never even saw the stop sign, and 18-wheelers can't stop on a dime. Now there's three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. Well, that farmer left a harvest, a home and 80 acres. Home and 80 acres, the faith and love of growing things in his young son's heart. Well, that teacher left her wisdom in the minds of lots of children. She did her best to give them all a better start. Well, that preacher whispered, "Can't you see the promised land?" as he laid that bloodstained Bible in that hooker's hands. And now there's three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. Well, that's a story that my preacher told last Sunday as he held that bloodstained Bible up for all of us to see. He said, "Bless the farmer and the teacher and the preacher who gave that Bible to my mama who read it to me." And now there's three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, now I guess we know. Because it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. And now there's three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. And I pray that that's something that you can take with you. If there's nothing else that you take with you from tonight, if you don't remember that Jesus is a teacher, I pray that in your life, the lessons that you learned from him whether it's on a Sunday morning, whether it's through a Bible study, whether it's through personal experiences, where Jesus literally, you can feel him. I pray that you share those experiences. I pray that you are able to impact those because you never know who you're going to reach. I guarantee that pastor had no idea what he was doing when he handed, well, no, he had some idea. He didn't know the impact that hooker was going to have because she gave it to her son. We have no idea who that pastor was. But that pastor reached people for God. You never know who you're going to impact with your story. And I pray that as you go out of this place, whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's the rest of your life, that you're able to take things that Christ has taught you and apply them and share them. Because that's what this world needs. Because as you said, you know, you don't know. It feels close. There's people in my life that I'm almost 100% sure don't know God, don't know his love, have never felt him, have been in a church and have been hurt by the church. You realize that? It isn't because of anything that God's ever done or Christ has ever done to those individuals. It's the people within the church. And I'm not trying to bring that down on a lower. I'm trying to say that people need to know God's love. And I pray that you're able to share it. I pray that if you've never experienced it, that you're able to find it and you're able to experience it. Because it's something that is the most amazing thing you could ever experience. We'll never experience it on this earth because that love is unspeakable. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for bringing us here this morning, this evening. I don't know why I keep saying this morning. Every day is a new day. Every moment's a new moment. So we'll just go with morning. We thank you for being with us this evening. And I pray for each and every individual that's here this tonight, Lord. I pray that they will be able to go out into this world and maybe take something from this message, Lord. I pray that one heart has been changed, one heart has been spoken to, one heart is closer to you. Not because of what I've said, but through what you've spoken to them. Lord, I pray for each and every individual as they go and begin their week. Lord, it's Monday tomorrow. And sometimes for some people, it's a little rougher on a Monday. So I pray for each and every individual as they embark on this new journey, on this new week. Guide them, protect them. Show them your love. Again, we thank you and we praise you for being with us this evening. You surely were in this place. We love you. Thank you for being our very best friend. In Jesus' name, amen.